Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today is day 4 of the season of The Witch, and today we're going to be talking about a franchise that's pretty recent, a franchise that has been pretty popular, and one that is commenting on society, and in a way may shadow or maybe foreshadow things to come, but hopefully not. And that series is The Purge. The Purge has this great premise that it took 2 movies to get right. The Purge is a franchise that only has 4 movies, but I really wanted to talk about it just because I think there's a couple interesting things about The Purge. First of all, you have this really great premise for it, and then you have a franchise that kind of took this great premise and then tried to stuff it into something else and made a pretty bad movie. That somehow inexplicably got a sequel, which nailed the premise and has been kind of going strong from there. So for those that are unfamiliar, and I kind of feel like a lot of people are familiar with this, if not from the movies, then maybe from the Rick and Morty episode where Rick and Morty go on a purge planet. The whole idea is that in a not-so-distant future, in order to keep society content, and in order to keep crime at like all-time lows, the government has instituted this annual period of annual 12-hour period wherein all crime is legal, and it is known as the Purge. Now, as I said, this is a premise that is really interesting, and unfortunately, the first movie, which came out in 2013, really kind of squandered it, because you have this idea of like anything goes. People are, they can do whatever they want. Anything is legal. And then you end up just following Ethan Hawke and his family in their house, trying to keep people out. Like, Ethan Hawke's son or his daughter feels bad for a black man that they see that is being hounded by some people and allow him into the home. And of course, then that creates their home to be a target of some people that are out a purging. And so you get this, you have this concept where you can basically do anything, and then you decide to basically do a really shitty take on Assault on Precinct 13, a really not great take on someone trying to defend their house, like a straw dogs or something. And this movie is not very good. But the thing about The Purge is that that premise was so fucking good that they stuck with it. And that's not to say that the people that are in this are doing a bad job. I think, like, especially, like, Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey are really good in this movie as the patriarch and matriarch of the Sandin family. And we also have Edwin Hodge as this stranger that they let into their house. And it almost comes like this kind of neutered version of like the strangers at that point, where these masked people come in trying to find Edwin Hodge's character and start torturing the family and start going after the family in order to catch him. But like I said, the ramifications of what this idea are so, there's so many applications for it that to end up just kind of focusing on this waspy family and like in their home where they're protected, and that idea of protection being taken away from them, and the Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey being pushed to the point where they fight back and engage in the purge by killing other people to protect themselves. It's interesting, but it's not the best thing you could do with this. But I mean, this movie, I think based on that premise alone, got a lot of people to go in, and the fact that everyone was wearing weird, creepy masks that look like plastic faces of, I don't know, rich white people, I guess. It had enough traction that people really wanted to kind of go with it, and really made this movie enough of a success that a sequel was greenlit. And interestingly enough, I think the sequel ends up getting what the premise should have been and kind of going for it. And instead of following just this guy and this family in their home, being tormented by their neighbors, as it turns out, Twist, I guess, who are, of course, they would be fucking out, killing people and being terrible human beings, right? But it takes it from that to then just showing a group of people being stranded after the purge begins, trying to get to safety. And I think this idea ends up being a lot, a much better execution of what the purge is. And I think we get a like this much more interesting take on it, where we get to kind of see people at their worst. And I mean, the whole thing is, with a premise like this, I think that's what you want to see. I'm not saying that everyone is terrible and everyone's going to jump to like, yeah, let's murder and kill and let's go do fucked up shit to everybody, and because we can, because it's okay for this time period, you know, like, let's blow off some steam. But seeing this point of view of following, you know, these people that don't want to be involved, who end up through no fault of their own and through happenstance being out past the time that they're going to be able to get home safely, is really interesting. And I think as well, in this movie, we're focusing on working class people. We're focusing on, we're not focusing on people that are able to just kind of ride this out and be safe no matter what. We really focus on just people trying to survive through this hellacious period, every year. And I think that's really, really interesting. And, Frank Grillo ends up becoming like the de facto, protagonist of these movies. And the cool thing about Frank Grillo is the guy looks like, I mean, he played Crossbones in the Captain America movies. He looks like he could defend himself. He looks like a guy who knows how to shoot a gun and knows how to he kind of looks like an action movie hero in a way. But giving him this plot where he's out there trying to get revenge for his son who was killed in a vehicular manslaughter in a car accident, kind of gives layers to this. But also having him end up having to kind of abandon that in order to be able to protect other people that aren't able to necessarily protect themselves. There's a lot of shades of another John Carpenter work, in Escape of New York in this. And it's just great to see these characters kind of traversing Los Angeles and having fucked up shit happen to them, and just seeing all these other people kind of fill it, kind of go into like their worst inclinations. Like, there's a person who like literally sets out traps and starts shooting people if they get close to it. There's a crazy cat lady who's just screaming her head off, and if anyone tells her shit, she starts shooting at them. There's people that are definitely taking advantage of this, but we also get this idea that it's not just the regular people or the common people that are kind of giving into these things. This is really a form of control. And I think that, you know, following these characters, you know, on the ground level and seeing how people deal with this crazy situation, ends up for like a really interesting idea. And then also just having this, I mean, it's kind of hinted at in the first movie, but really exploring this idea of having like this new ultra conservative super Christian government, where if I remember correctly, the president is basically like a reverend as well. This weird extreme version of a synthesis of government and religion is really fascinating. And there's like these heady ideas in there for what is, you know, really just a silly movie about people killing each other or trying to avoid getting killed, you know. I, like I said, I think anarchy is a much better idea, a much better execution of what the purge should have been. And in a way, I'm kind of glad that they did make a sequel, because I think part of the reason that these movies have led to more movies is because they were able to get it right that second time. Now, Purge Anarchy came out in 2014, like basically right after the purge. A few years later, in 2016, we got Purge Election Year, wherein we once again follow... and then the other idea that they kind of interject in Anarchy is kind of having this idea of having an underground that's trying to make a stop the purge. There's also this really great sequence where Frank Grillo and a bunch of other people are rounded up basically as people that are going to get sacrificed to rich people who want to, like, they want to do the purge, but in a safe way. Like, it really reminds me of this idea of people of means who go out, quote unquote, hunting, you know, like endangered animals that if it were an actual hunt, they'd be in a lot of danger, but they're basically just paying to kill a doped up animal. Like, it's not fair. And kind of transplanting that to humans is a really interesting idea. There's just a lot of cool little touches like that that I like in these movies. And I think bringing back Edwin Hodge is once again kind of being someone that's important in this underground movement that's trying to stop the purge is kind of interesting too. And I like that in the third movie, in the Purge Election Year, which I don't think is as good as Anarchy. I think 2 and 3 are the best, but I think 2 is better than 3, but 3 is just below it. Purge Election Year really kind of takes a lot of these ideas from the the second movie and kind of runs with them, and we get to see just even this more crazy depravity as we follow these two stories. We follow this group of people that are trying to defend a liquor store in a low-income neighborhood. And we also follow Frank Grillo, who is now the head of security for Elizabeth Mitchell's Senator Charlie Rowan, who has introduced legislation to stop the purge. And of course, you know, Frank Grillo is set up and he's going to be the fall guy for an assassination plot of Senator Rowan, which then kind of leads to Frank Grillo and Elizabeth Mitchell running into this other group of survivors who were defending their home or their store. And this group includes like Mike Kelty Williamson and Betty Gabriel and some other people. And then they're on the run trying to not only evade people that are out purging, but this militia that's after them. So kind of having this idea of just having the government use this once more for control, but even taking advantage of the chaos that occurs within this lawless period is really, I just think it's really interesting ideas. And unfortunately, like in this year, we've seen, I think, a lot of parallels to governments, to our government doing that, and to just kind of parallels to society. Like, I'm not saying that people are going around, like, you know, committing crimes scot-free for 12 hours and doing whatever the fuck they want, but definitely in this time period of unrest, civil unrest, and you know, natural disasters, seeing the police force just kind of doing what they want, local governments really trying to protect property more so than human life, and seeing these militias and these government entities that are unmarked kind of taking advantage of the chaos, it's really striking to see that it we kind of have a lot of that in a fucking silly horror movie from 4 years ago. I think one of the things I really enjoy about Purge Election Year 2 as well is that we have these characters are introduced in the beginning who I guess are supposed to be some bad bitches or something, and they dress up like schoolgirls and basically like threaten Mike Kelty Williamson's shop owner, and then they come back, of course, to try to like kill him, and it's insinuated that these girls killed their parents because they're fucking crazy or something, and just kind of seeing people just like the depths that people would go to when it's okay to just, all right, for this time period, it's okay to do whatever you want, and murdering people, you know? It's just interesting, and I think kind of having this whole idea of even the top of the government being the people that brought up this idea, but also being partaking in it and doing almost like ritualistic murder. There's just a lot of weird shit like that, a lot of stuff that in a way reminds me of Dario Argento movies, but through the lens of American life, unfortunately. A few years after that, in 2018, we got the last Purge movie, which is the first Purge, which, interestingly enough, doing one of those things where, you know, we get to a prequel. And the really interesting thing about The First Purge, I think, is because all these ideas are brought up in Anarchy and an Election Year about how the government is run and how they were able to kind of start this, it makes sense to kind of go back to how we got to this point, right? And, you know, the new government that's set up is run by this new political party called the New Founding Fathers of America, which I mentioned, as I mentioned, are very much extremely conservative and very religious. And I don't mean to, like, crap on conservatives or people who are religious. I mean, this is, like, dogmatic, like, radicalized conservatism and you know, Christianity. Like, we're talking about terrorists, basically, but it's almost like if those terrorists were really running the government. And I mean, once again, I mean, there's some parallels to kind of what we're seeing with conservatives in general and people that are very religious. But I think deep down for me, I find it difficult that anybody would fathom that this is a good idea to just allow crime to run rampant for 12 hours once a year. But, you know, a lot of stuff has happened this year that I never thought it would be happening, and it is. So who the fuck knows? And of course, this is a horror movie, so everything's exaggerated. But I think the really interesting thing about The First Purge is that we have, like, this whole idea of trying to start this new idea, and how is it going to happen? And we end up we focus on this group in Harlem, if I remember correctly, I'm sorry, in not Harlem, in Staten Island. And, you know, it's all televised. It's kind of, everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen. And, you know, of course people are just out partying, getting high and having fun, because I don't think that people's nature is to necessarily go out and murder everybody just because you can. You know, like, people are like, all right, it's okay to use these drugs that I wouldn't otherwise be able to do. All right, fuck it, let's go do that. Let's have a good time. And it's almost like played for a laugh, you know, until, you know, of course, they have to make this work. So the government creates their own narrative. They send out their own hit squads to incite violence, to incite people to destroy neighborhoods and incite people to protect themselves, and in doing so end up killing one another. And it's not to say that everyone is out just partying. I mean, definitely some of the characters that we follow end up getting in some dangerous situations, but it isn't the levels of depravity that we see in the earlier movies, because I think people are still kind of testing things out. And yes, you know, not some people are definitely would definitely take advantage of something like this, and we see that. But you know, at the end of the day, it's almost this whole idea of the reason for this is to control people, and to control specifically working class and minority people, you know. And it almost becomes this interesting allegory for how do we really treat those that people, I guess, would deem either due to socioeconomic reasons, you know, kind of not necessarily being in the best situation in life, or how we treat people that just want to get ahead, you know, and just want to be able to move and reach that American dream, and is that dream broken? And to kind of have that in these movies that are basically like these action horror movies where people are getting their heads blown off, and we get people getting decapitated, and you know, there's this, like, this mounting terror. It to me, it's really fascinating. And I think that this series ends up actually being able to kind of touch upon a lot of things that that kind of almost kind of capturing this actual undercurrent of, I think, what's happening in America right now. Obviously exaggerating it, because it's a movie, so you kind of have to. Like I mentioned once again, I mean, I don't think people are going out there murdering everybody just because they can. But I mean, unfortunately, some people are doing that. And what, even though this is an exaggerated take on that, I mean, I think these fucking movies are actually kind of pointing to some fundamental truths about people in general, and it's scary. And I think that's something that great horror can do sometimes, is it puts a mirror to ourselves, and we kind of have to see our own flaws and some of the worst things that we can do. And, you know, if you have to put that in a story of people running around, murdering each other because they're allowed to by the government, and the tendency for people in power to take advantage of chaos in order to hold on to power. I mean, yeah, if you want to put it in just a crazy movie or a silly movie, then you might as well take advantage, you know. Like I've mentioned before, I think a lot of times horror can address these issues in ways that drama, in ways that something more serious wouldn't be able to, because people just wouldn't accept it. But you put it in a horror movie and you have people screaming and this exaggerated violence, and people are kind of okay with it. You kind of are able to sneak that in. And I think that's kind of the great thing about the Purge movies. They're not the best movies out there. I mean, they're definitely fun, especially after that first one. But just the fact that you're able to really talk about these societal ills in a way that sometimes we're not able to talk about, I think is really fascinating and makes these movies definitely worth checking out and definitely horrific. So that's it for today, and we'll see you next time for day 5.